WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We have breaking news in the search for a Durham teenager at the center of an Amber Alert. WRAL's Monica Casey will be live with new information from the girl's parents.
And we do have some little cells that are beginning to pop up as we get into the afternoon. I'll go over the timeline for storms for the rest of the day. Plus, crowds across the country will gather to celebrate Pride this weekend. We're live at the LGBTQ Center in Raleigh with a national warning.
We begin this noon with breaking news in the search for a missing 16-year-old Durham girl. Good afternoon. I'm Chris Lovinggood.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. WRAL's Monica Casey has spoken to the missing teen's mother and has new information this noon. Monica, what can you tell us?
Well, I was speaking with Anaya Hooper's mother over Zoom around 11 o'clock this morning. Other family members were also in that house speaking to her while this was going on. And while we were talking, the mother told me that Anaya had arrived at the house. Now, before all of this, that teenager was last seen at this bus stop on Angier Avenue. That mother, Tawanda McMillan, said Anaya had left her house around 11 last night. She was texting family members from 2 to 5 a.m. When her phone died at 5, the family then called police. This is still a fluid situation. That Amber Alert is officially still active, but the mother says Anaya is home right now. But DPD tells me the investigation into all of this is still ongoing at this time. Michelle?
A lot to uncover here. Monica Casey live for us in Durham. Thanks, Monica.
We'll be staying with that story, of course. More rain and storms are in the forecast throughout the afternoon, so you can expect pockets of heavy rain.
Yeah, Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the timeline for today's storms, Elizabeth. Well, take a look at the coverage. And we don't have a lot of thunderstorms or rain out here right now. We are looking at some rain up the I-85 corridor and just a few cells that are starting to pop up. As we go through the afternoon and we see a few breaks in the clouds, we'll end up seeing that sunshine energizing the atmosphere and helping to see more of these showers and thunderstorms develop. You can see some rain getting ready to move up past Henderson, right up the I-85 corridor. We also have a little bit of patchy light rain around South Hill. That's starting to push off to the east just a bit. We take a look down here, coming out of Elm City toward Rocky Mount, just a little bit of rain showing up. We take a live look at North Hills, and there is a little bit of blue that's trying to break through these clouds. The more sunshine we see this afternoon, the more likely we are to have some scattered storms develop. Not all of these cells are going to produce lightning, but most of them will produce at least some brief heavy rain. Take a look at the coverage here at 2 o'clock. Not a lot of rain showing up. We take it to 4 o'clock, though, and we begin to see more showers and possible thunderstorms popping up. So the later we get in the day, the more daytime heating we see, the better chance that we'll have of some of these pockets of heavy rain. You can see here at 7 o'clock, that's moving through the Triangle area. And once we get past sunset, we should begin to see a lot of that tapering off. We're going to talk more about a drier weekend in just a few minutes. But let's take a look at the tropics. We still have our two systems that we're following. This is the brand new information from the Hurricane Center. Brett is moving west at 21 miles per hour, still with 60 mile per hour winds, but it's still looking like it will dissipate over the Caribbean over the weekend. And then Cindy is moving northwest at 16 with winds at 50 miles per hour. It may strengthen to 65 mile per hour winds in the next 24 hours, but it will move up here near the Bahamas, where it will run into part of the atmosphere that's not conducive for storms to develop. It will also end up running into a front that's going to move offshore early to mid next week, and that will keep that storm from making landfall in the United States. At least that's the way things look right now. We'll continue to keep our eye on it. All right, thanks, Elizabeth. And you can plan ahead for severe weather with the WRAL Weather app. It allows you to watch radar in real time to see when storms are in your area. It is free to download wherever you find your apps.
A national warning was issued about protections for LGBTQ Americans this month, and that happened as Pride events are set to happen, including this weekend. WRAL's Carly Haynes is in Raleigh. Carly, talk about why that human rights group sent that warning.
Chris, we're on Fayetteville Street in downtown Raleigh right now. This is where a Pride event will be taking place this weekend by Out Raleigh Pride. Now, the reason that the Human Rights Campaign issued this national warning is based on a report that at least 75 anti-LGBTQ plus bills have been signed in the 2023 legislative session alone. Now, that's more than double last year's number. Now, the Human Rights Campaign has declared the state of North Carolina as one of 23 states considered high priority to achieve basic equality. So in other words, this is one of the states with the least protective laws for the LGBTQ plus community, like non-discrimination protections in employment, housing, and public accommodations. Plus, the Department of Homeland Security document distributed to law enforcement agencies last month said domestic violence extremists and people who have increased threats against the LGBTQ plus community within the last year. Kendra Johnson with Equality NC says this is the first time in her life where she feels as unsafe as she does right now.
We've been doing some support and training with some prides around the state in order for them to take these threats seriously and be prepared so that we don't have anything tragic happen.
And Johnson says North Carolina is second to Texas for the most threats that the LGBTQ plus community has received just this year. And we're speaking to some of these Pride event organizers in just a little bit to ask them about enhanced security or anything that they're thinking. Chris.
Carly Haynes, downtown in Raleigh. Thank you, Carly. New restrictions on transgender student athletes could soon be law in North Carolina. A bill to ban those students from playing on girls and women's sports teams is now on Governor Cooper's desk. Now, he's expected to veto it, but the Republican-controlled General Assembly has enough votes to override him. The new rules would affect private and public colleges, as well as high schools. Right now, there are only two students in the entire state to whom the restrictions apply. This is just one of the many anti-trans bills being pushed by GOP lawmakers in North Carolina.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, the five officers accused in the Tyre Nichols case back in a Memphis courtroom this morning. Now, the attorneys for two of those officers filed a motion to have their case tried separately from the other three officers. Also, court documents show there's more evidence that could be released soon, but prosecutors and defense attorneys are deciding on what should be released to the public and what should remain sealed until the jury sees it. Well, Nichols died 3 days after this encounter with Memphis police officers. He was repeatedly beaten and kicked. Those are the five police officers now charged, you see on your screen. No word yet on when the judge will make a decision about the motions filed today, but during the court proceedings this morning, the judge did set a next court date for August.
All right, Ken, thank you. A warning in Wake County after five people tested positive for rabies. Wake County Animal Services believe a colony of feral cats could be responsible. Joining us now with ways to protect yourself and your family, as well as what to watch out for, is Dr. Jennifer Federico, Director of Wake County Animal Services. Dr. Federico, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. We understand that at least one cat tested positive this week. Where did the first exposure take place?
So the first exposure was on Great Woods Drive, a road in Wake Forest, and the colony that people have identified this cat has come from is across the street on the opposite side of Old Creedmoor Road. So, and then we had another sixth exposure found out today in a person. So we're up to six people and one dog.
Oh, wow. Okay. And we understand there was a second exposure as well. Where was that?
That was on, well, one was on Old Creedmoor Road and one was on the block across from Great Woods Drive. So this is all within a very concentrated area. So we really want people in that area to be aware if they have come in contact with any abnormal acting cats or if they're concerned about themselves to give Wake County Animal Control a call. And we can either put them in touch with the communicable disease team, a communicable disease nurse, and our ACO supervisor did canvass the area yesterday talking to people to make sure we've reached everyone who may be affected.
And that's really important. And some people might be asking, how can they protect their pets from this?
So really, it's the same for everybody. Keep your pets up to date on vaccines. Don't interact with pets you don't know. If you are feeding a feral colony, feeding them is one part, but you really need to be doing TNR so they are spayed, neutered, and vaccinated for rabies, and that will protect them.
And what are the symptoms that we should be looking out for? Some might say, you know, my cat or dog is acting abnormal. What are some signs that they might have rabies?
So there's varying signs, but for this for this cat in this case, it was aggression. It was coming up and attacking people. So there's neurologic signs that you should be watching for. You should be watching for a change in behavior that way. Some of them don't exhibit that initially. So if there's any changes, ask your veterinarian. I love the CDC years ago compared it to zombies. If they start to act like anything you wouldn't picture a zombie in a zombie movie, because that was based on rabies, that's when you want to call your vet.
That's when it is time to call the veterinarian. Dr. Yep. Jennifer Federico, thank you so much for joining us on this important topic. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Vice President Kamala Harris is set to be in Charlotte tomorrow. She's expected to mark the 1 year that's passed since the Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade. Harris is also expected to rally supporters and community leaders to fight for reproductive rights, and that is set to be a big issue during next year's elections.
Coming up, lending a helping hand is a badge of honor for many people. In just a few minutes, a live interview on how you can find chances to volunteer right here in Raleigh, and you won't have to wait very long.
Plus, as global temperatures go up, that means more chances for some bugs to spread the diseases. A closer look at how to protect yourself.
And collapsed one day and repaired weeks later. We'll show you the fixed up section of an interstate in Philadelphia that reopened today.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
The City of Raleigh Housing and Neighborhoods Department has an idea. Get a bunch of volunteer organizations together this weekend and then connect them with people who want to volunteer. Grady Bussey with the City of Raleigh joins us to talk more about Sunday's event. Good afternoon, Grady. Thanks so much for joining us. So tell us a little bit about Connect Raleigh.
Yeah, so Connect Raleigh is a really unique and extraordinary program that our housing and neighborhood department is actually created. You know, Raleigh is that city that, you know, people are coming from all over the country, and we always talk about our housing and our school system, but it's really our people. And so Connect Raleigh is a program where we are connecting the public with different entities that have the similar and same interests.
This is being held at Moore Square, if I'm not mistaken. So why that specific spot?
Yeah, well, so Moore Square is one of these bustling parks here in downtown Raleigh. As you can see, we got a lot of activity here today. We got people playing music, and it's one of these places where it's a great place for families to gather. And so the program and the event that we're hosting, we wanted to utilize a good space where people feel comfortable and naturally able to come together.
So obviously you're trying to get so many people to try to do their part in the community. But I wonder, how severe is the need right now to get people to step up and just kind of help out in their community?
Yeah, so the reality is that there is a complete, absolute need for people to get involved in our community. And one of the realities is that we have a lot of different organizations that have specific ways that they are serving, and they have a need for people to get out and be a part of them. And the reality is that with our program at Connect Raleigh, our desire was to make sure that we formulated an opportunity where people can basically find their tribe. You know, we have organizations that will be dealing with nature, elderly, children. And we wanted to make sure that we created a program where in which we have organizations that are going to be at Moore Square from 2 to 5 on Sunday. And we're encouraging people to come out to the community, come out to Moore Square and meet these organizations that are looking for volunteers.
And as I'm looking at your website, I see it says you have volunteers providing more than 118,000 hours of service to over 50 nonprofit and public agencies and save the community $2.6 million a year. So there is clearly an opportunity for people. Really quick, where can people find more information on this?
Yeah, so to get on our website at raleighnc.gov and search Connect Raleigh. There you'll find all the information that we have about our event on Sunday, 2 to 5. We have some real good organizations that are coming out, and our housing and neighborhood department is very serious about connecting community together. So we look forward to seeing you out.
Grady Bussey, community relations analyst with the City of Raleigh. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right. See you guys.
Ongoing climate change is fueling warmer and wetter conditions across large portions of the world, creating better breeding grounds for mosquitoes. And more bugs could increase the chances of mosquito-borne diseases. Kevin Cork takes a closer look at how you can protect yourself.
Have you heard the buzz? They're all over.
The mosquitoes never quit, so we can't either.
Health experts around the world are sounding the alarm, citing how wetter and warmer conditions on the planet could increase the potential threat of mosquito-borne viral diseases this summer,
which could increase transmission of dengue and other so-called arboviruses such as Zika and chikungunya.
Symptoms of many mosquito-borne diseases can include high fever, head and body aches, nausea, rashes, and more. With many states experiencing a high volume of rain this winter and spring, many areas are still saturated with standing water, the perfect breeding ground for the pests.
Those eggs that those mosquitoes laid are coming due with water that's come lately.
A growing number of local public health officials are monitoring these types of areas for mosquito larvae and noting the most notorious areas that should be sprayed with insecticide, a process that can be done by drones, helicopters, or other flight craft.
We have electronic systems in the machine that tell me exactly, geo-referencing with GPS coordinates, where to go and spray.
But besides spraying the bugs, you should also be spraying yourself.
Spray anyway, I feel like I have the sweet blood out there, so they always go for me.
And that was Kevin Cork reporting. To keep your yard from becoming a mosquito haven, make sure you drain your gutters, any buckets you have lying around, and other containers of any standing water. I was in my yard pulling weeds yesterday, and I didn't put mosquito repellent on, and it was a mistake.
Well, I tell you what, all those tips you just gave, I mean, the perfect thing to maybe practice today, as meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is telling you a little bit about the rain. We had some rain yesterday, had a little rain today, and a little more tomorrow, too.
Yeah, we're going to see a nice change in our pattern. We're sort of in between today. You're going to see a bit of sunshine, some cloud cover, and a few scattered showers. That chance will go up a bit later this afternoon as we see a little bit more daytime heating. But we get into the weekend, it's going to be drier, it'll be brighter, it'll be hotter, and we'll have a better chance to get outside. And a lot of us have been, you know, kind of cooped up this week. We've had so much rain. Here's a look at a little bit of rain just north of Henderson. That's kind of traveling up the I-95 corridor. We had a little shower in South Hill. That's moving off to the east. We'll take a look down here around Rocky Mount. A little shower there, heading up toward infield, but that's about all that's happening in our viewing area right now. Just a couple tiny little showers. The low pressure system that is moving away from us right now was hanging out in Tennessee. It moved down to Georgia and Alabama, and it was pushing energy and moisture into our area, which kept pockets of heavy rain continuing to pop up across our area. So we have a cold front that'll swing through, and once that front moves through, we'll be seeing a completely different weather pattern. We check out Futurecast as we get through the next few hours. Here's 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock's looking rather dry as well. But once we get closer to 3 and 4 o'clock, we begin to see a bit more shower and thunderstorm activity. A lot of that's going to be east of I-95, but we could see some of that pop up in any part of the viewing area. You'll notice here, skies begin to clear a little bit. Once we get past sunset, we start to see fewer showers and thunderstorms. Folks are getting out and about out there. We take a look at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. Looks nice out there. It's not terribly hot. We do have a little bit of blue sky there and no rainfall. And those folks should have a while before we start to see those showers popping up again. Again, looks like in late afternoon into the evening. 82 is our current temperature. We may not get that much warmer, but oh, look at that dew point at 71. We might see the temperatures climbing into the mid-80s in a few spots, depending on how much sunshine you see. 70% chance of rain. And we've already had some rain this morning. Some of that was heavy at times to start with. Matter of fact, we had a flood advisory from Chapel Hill to Durham on up toward Roxborough. I don't anticipate really us seeing that again this afternoon. It's a possibility. But we're going to be a good bit drier. On Saturday, we're looking at some afternoon and evening storms. It's a 40% chance, and then we drop it all the way to a 20% chance on Sunday. But it will be hotter, 87 tomorrow and 91 on Sunday. Checking the tropics. So we've been watching Tropical Storm Brett. It's been moving to the west now. It's about 230 miles west of the Leeward Islands. Has winds at 60 miles per hour. Moving pretty quickly to the west at 21 miles per hour. It's going to bring it into this part of the Caribbean where it's not likely to be able to develop any further, and it is likely to just fizzle out. We take a look at Tropical Storm Cindy. It is moving northwest at 16. It has winds at 50 miles per hour. We'll probably be watching the storm a little bit longer. Brett's likely to fizzle out over the weekend, and it's likely that Cindy will be downgraded to a tropical depression by the time we get to Tuesday or Wednesday next week. It will move into a part of the Atlantic where we have some strong winds that will start to tear the storm apart. So it does not look like at this point it would be a threat to the United States, but we'll be watching it. 87 tomorrow, 91 on Sunday. To me, Sunday looks like a really good pool or lake day. Minimal chances for storms. But we'll be watching Monday and Tuesday very carefully. We'll have another front that comes through that could bring us some severe storms. We'll touch on that in just a bit.
Party, a pool party on Sunday, apparently.
At Elizabeth's. Only if I had one.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Okay, so here's a look at some of the stories that we're working on for WREL News tonight. Nearly 1 year has passed since the entire police force resigned in Kinley Township. Now things have changed. Today at 4, we'll ask the new chief what will be different this time as the town moves forward.
And the impact of the so-called forever chemicals has spread to our four-legged friends. Tonight at 6, meet a woman who says PFAS caused her dogs to develop cancer. And coming up at noon, flavored e-cigarettes are selling well among teens despite efforts by the government. The flavors that are seeing a spike in sales after the break.
Plus, VR headsets? How very 2013. Try this instead, a VR bodysuit that could help you feel things in the metaverse. A closer look in just minutes. Getting you a live look outside right now over in Clinton. Obviously, there's some clouds in the sky. They're a little lighter outside than normal. May even see a little sunshine today, according to Elizabeth Gardner. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or your streaming device. If you know a middle schooler who loves math and loves science, we would love to meet them. North Carolina STEM Explorers is a children's program airing on WREL this fall, and it's once again looking for kid hosts. Auditions take place here on the WREL Studios campus. That is between 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. tomorrow. For more on the audition process or how to submit a video online, visit camproductionsnc.com.
The Furby is back, and a massive recall of frozen fruit is underway. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aber.
Bags of frozen fruit are being recalled due to possible listeria contamination. The fruit from Sunrise Growers was sold at a variety of retailers, including Walmart, Target, Whole Foods, and Trader Joe's. The recalled products include everything from frozen strawberries, bananas, and dark cherries to pineapple chunks and mixed fruit. The bags were distributed to retailers late last year, right up through last month. You can find specifics on the recalled fruit on the FDA's website at fda.gov. Sales of flavored e-cigarettes are soaring despite a crackdown on teen vaping. In December of last year, fruit, candy, spice, and dessert-flavored e-cigarettes accounted for 41.3% of U.S. retail store e-cigarette unit sales. That's up from 29.2% just 12 months earlier. This is according to data analyzed by the CDC. The spike in sales is tied to new and smaller players providing disposable e-cigarettes, and those haven't been affected by new restrictions. United will start sending meal and hotel vouchers right to your phone if your flight is disrupted. Instead of standing in line for customer service or calling the airline, passengers can get the vouchers directly from United's website or app. The airline hopes this will ease congestion at airports and ease the stress on passengers whose flights have been delayed or canceled. United provides food vouchers for flight disruptions of 3 hours and hotel vouchers when passengers are forced to stay overnight. But in both cases, the disruption has to have been caused by the airline for customers to receive a voucher. The Furby's back. Hasbro is reintroducing the iconic toy from the late 1990s. The bug-eyed, gibberish-talking furball launched on Amazon yesterday and will be in stores nationwide on July 15th. It's selling for $70. The Furby is interactive and responds to hugs and tickles, and you can even feed it a tiny pizza. Along with its built-in lights and sounds, the voice-activated Furby knows more than 600 phrases, jokes, and songs. The reintroduction marks the 25th anniversary of the toy, and Hasbro hopes it appeals to a new generation of kids. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aber at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Coming up, a critical section of I-95 in Philadelphia that was destroyed by a massive fire reopens today in record time. But reaction to the news is a bit mixed.
Plus, the search for a missing submersible is over. But the investigation into what may have caused it to break, well, that's beginning. And before we go, get your tickets out. Here's a look at your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WREL News. Coverage you can count on.
We want to get back out to that breaking news that we reported at the top of the hour. Durham police canceled an Amber Alert for a missing 16-year-old just before this newscast. WREL's Monica Casey spoke with Anaya Hooper's mother, who says that she was located and she's safe. Monica, you are live there in Durham with an update for us right now. What do you know?
That's right. I was speaking with Anaya Hooper's mother around 11 o'clock this morning. There were a lot of other family members there updating her as we were talking. And while we were talking just before 11 o'clock, she told me Anaya got home and was safe. That was an emotional interview that went from tears of sadness and fear to tears of joy when she got there. Her mother had not seen her since 11 o'clock last night when she left home. Anaya was texting her family between 2 and 5 in the morning, but her phone died at 5 o'clock, and that's when they got police involved in the search for her. Now, again, at this point, the Amber Alert has been canceled, and that 16-year-old is safe back at home with her family. Michelle?
Good news. Monica Casey live in Durham for us. Thanks, Monica.
Today, drivers will be able to start using that stretch of I-95 in Philly that collapsed this month. At first, authorities said it would take months to repair, but it took less than 2 weeks. Emily Akeda explains why.
Less than 2 weeks after a tanker truck crashed and burst into flames, collapsing this critical section of I-95 in Philadelphia. A complete transformation. This morning, crews are putting the final touches on a temporary roadway, which is expected to reopen today, well ahead of the anticipated months-long timeline.
And we have completed each phase of this project safely and way ahead of schedule.
Beneath the three lanes each way is a bed of recycled glass aggregate.
8 million bottles have been turned into this aggregate that we're using in our project.
The environmentally friendly material has been used in projects in 20 states, according to Pennsylvania's Secretary of Transportation.
Is there a weight limit for this kind of glass aggregate? Is this safe?
Totally safe. There's no limit with respect to the vehicles that will cross that, just as they would any other bridge that we have anywhere in Pennsylvania.
NASCAR also lending a hand, sending one of its jet dryer cars to help complete the paving process. After traffic returns to the newly paved lanes, crews will begin constructing a portion of the permanent bridge around it, then divert traffic to those lanes, and finally remove the filler to build the main portion of the overpass. The severed roadway that 160,000 vehicles rely on daily, snarling traffic in the area and creating fears of potential supply chain disruptions. And while some drivers are hesitant to use the new overpass given the speed of the rebuild.
Yeah, I won't get on there at first, I don't think. I don't trust it yet.
Many businesses and commuters are welcoming any relief on the road.
I'm glad, like seriously glad that they actually about to get done fixing it.
That was Emily Akeda with that story. Tomorrow marks 2 years since 98 people died in that partial condo collapse in Surfside, Florida. A remembrance ceremony will be held on the lawn across the street from where it all happened. The cause of the collapse, that's still being investigated. Reports of poor construction and corrosion are being looked at as contributing factors.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Harnett, Johnston, and Orange County this afternoon. Officials in Harnett County are taking steps to address a growing mental health crisis. Hope in Harnett began a couple hours ago at the Harnett County Library. It includes a panel discussion about the reality of veteran suicide and mental health. If you or someone you know is experiencing mental health challenges or having suicidal thoughts, contact the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline anytime. That number, 988. And Chapel Hill takes steps to address what's known as the missing middle. The town voted to allow property owners to build duplexes and small homes throughout the community. The goal is to provide more affordable housing. The duplexes must adhere to a certain square footage. And families in need of over-the-counter medicines can pick up items today in Johnston County while supplies last. NC Med Assist will host a mobile-free pharmacy event until 2 o'clock at Temple City Church in Selma. The rain or shine event is open to anyone 18 and over. No registration or identification is required, and there are no income restrictions. UNC Health will be offering tetanus vaccinations and boosters.
And this story just into the WREL Live Center. Fayetteville police making arrests in the death of a one-year-old. 28-year-old Tiana Johnson is charged with second-degree murder and felony child abuse. The incident happened earlier this year in January on Blue Street. Now, police have not said what the relationship was between Johnson and the one-year-old who died. Johnson is currently being held in the Cumberland County Detention Center awaiting her first court appearance.
All right. Thank you, Ken. Abortion will be a big topic of discussion today among 2024 election candidates. Some of the top runners will gather at rival events, and that includes Republican candidates Ron DeSantis, former Vice President Mike Pence, and Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina. They'll speak at the Faith and Freedom Conference in Washington, D.C. Former President Trump is set to give the keynote speech tomorrow night. They're also expected to celebrate 1 year since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Meanwhile, President Biden will host a rally supporting reproductive rights, and that's also happening in D.C. There, he will be endorsed by three top-level groups, including Planned Parenthood, the Action Fund, and experts think that abortion could play a big role in next year's election.
Investigators are trying to understand what caused a submersible to implode near the wreck of the Titanic. Five people died when the Titan vessel fell apart in the Atlantic Ocean. A remote-operated vehicle discovered the wreckage yesterday after a four-day search. It lost contact just 2 hours into its trip, and the U.S. Navy revealed last night officers heard the sound of an implosion right around that time.
Virtual reality headsets are out and bodysuits are in. A new piece of tech could let you feel objects in the metaverse. We'll explain.
And YouTube is jumping on the AI bandwagon, how the platform plans to use it in their videos. The rise of virtual reality headsets is helping more people experience the metaverse. But while you're exploring new lands of playing the hottest video games, wouldn't you want to physically engage with your digital surroundings? Marianne Rafferty shows us the new virtual reality bodysuit that researchers say can let you do just that.
While virtual reality headsets can take us into the digital world of the metaverse, those online adventures are mostly just visual experiences. But a new virtual reality bodysuit from engineers at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology could allow people exploring the metaverse to physically interact with their digital surroundings.
You can let a bird land on your hand and feel it. Because the muscles are contracting on the suit.
Dubbed the Meta Suit, the device features robotic muscles that react to objects similar to human muscles, responding to signals sent to it while people are gaming in the metaverse.
You have pouches that are filled with a special fluid, and you spray electrodes on them, and you apply a voltage on these electrodes so that these muscles rip together. And this leads to a contraction of the muscle.
Researchers also designed the suit to be flexible so it could feel more natural on the body, instead of being stiff like exoskeleton devices made of metal and motors.
You're in an entirely other environment. You could be on Mars and you feel something and it feels real.
Wow, that was Marianne Rafferty reporting. The team says film directors could use the suit to track people's movements for animation. It could even stimulate the muscles for people with Parkinson's disease and help them walk.
Well, could be a game changer for a lot of different people. YouTube plans to use AI to improve how it dubs videos. The video sharing platform is teaming up with a dubbing service called Aloud to transcribe and translate videos. Hundreds of creators are already using this new tool. It allows them to read the transcribed versions of their videos and then produce translations. Aloud can translate into English, Spanish, and Portuguese, with more languages expected in the future. Some of the most celebrated musicians in American history are Black, but when we take a look at representation in classical music, there's a way to go. In just a bit, hear how a Detroit arts organization is working to change that.
Plus, Star Wars fans now have a chance to own a gown once worn by Carrie Fisher. Chris is excited. How much, Chris, the iconic costume is expected to cost?
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, the United States will host the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup. Now, the tournament will feature 32 teams, including Real Madrid, Manchester City, Chelsea, and possibly the Seattle Sound. Many of these teams are recent Champions League winners like the Sound. So this expanded club tournament in 2025 will give FIFA a chance to test venues around the world, try out some broadcasting models, possibly get some new sponsorships. You can look at this as a warm-up to the FIFA Men's World Cup tournament set for 2026. Of course, the host cities are the United States, Mexico, and Canada.
That's a big get. All right, thank you, Ken. Transforming lives through the power of diversity in the arts. That's the mission of an organization in Detroit. Zinclay Esamoah shows us the creation of a pipeline of Black and Latinx classical musicians.
It started over 25 years ago.
For me, you know, I was often the only person, student, child of color, growing up playing the violin.
As a Black classical musician, Aaron Dworkin wanted to change the genre's landscape.
Classical music is both for us and by us.
Together with his wife, Afa Dworkin, they created Sphinx Music, an organization focused on creating a pipeline of Black and Latinx talent.
And the narrative of classical music would have you believe that it's pretty monochromatic and it belongs to the Western European world.
Today, just over 79% of classical musicians in the United States are white. Only 4.8% identify as Latinx and 2.4% identify as Black. Though the number of musicians identifying as a person of color has increased from 15% to nearly 21% in just the last 7 years.
And in order for classical music to have a sense of relevance for communities, it needs to be representative by all of the voices within the community.
I actually was proud of what I was able to bring with my heritage to classical music.
Joseph Conyers was in the very first Sphinx cohort back in 1998. Now, he's the principal bassist for one of the country's leading classical groups, the Philadelphia Orchestra, and he teaches at Juilliard.
I'm seeing the next generation coming up behind me. Look how far things have come since when I was growing up.
This June, students at the Cesar Chavez Academy, a majority Latinx school in Detroit, are preparing for their year-end recital.
I like violin because it had like these peaceful notes. When you play it, it sounds so peaceful.
10-year-old Donnie Salas started playing the violin 2 years ago through his school's partnership with Sphinx. His mom says it's made a difference.
Programs like this actually help these children that want to play.
After 25 years, Sphinx has nearly 1,100 alumni and over $10 million invested in Black and brown musicians.
Sphinx's goal is transforming lives through the power of diversity in the arts.
The classical music shift coming one note at a time. Zinclay Esamoah, NBC News.
Nerd out on the story just a little bit. So in 2014, the League of American Orchestras did a survey, right, a study, and they found that at the time, only 1.4% of orchestras had musicians that were Black. Right. Sorry, let me say that right. Yeah, 1.4% of orchestra musicians were Black. And there was this misconception when I was growing up that, like, for some reason, people thought that I interact with that Black folk didn't like classical music. I played the cello all the way through high school. I loved it. It's amazing. And that story right there is just so encouraging to see them trying to push more diversity and trying to get more people who are talented to be playing classical
you
music.
Saw the talent.
Absolutely.
It is unbelievable. It's great.
Love it.
All right, we got to get over to weather. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner standing by showing us where some rain's falling. For the most part, we're looking okay this afternoon.
Yeah, we're seeing a bit of a break in the action right now, which is nice. I mean, there are a couple of tiny showers out there currently, but there's really not much to see on the radar right now. It looks like as we get to mid to late afternoon, we start to see it ramping up. I think we're going to see a few breaks in the clouds on and off, and that's going to allow more energy in the atmosphere that could fire up a few more showers. A little tiny shower here moving north of Henderson, up toward South Hill, Virginia. A little bitty tiny thing. And then we head back to the south. There was a little bit of patchy rain that was showing up down here in Cumberland County, but that looks like it's really starting to fizzle. So right now, things are looking pretty good. But over the last 24 hours, we had a lot of rain. We had a ton of it yesterday. We had some this morning as well. And you can see as we take a look at the streaks where some of that heaviest rain was, and a lot of it was in our northern counties. Yesterday, and even this morning, we had a, 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 a flood advisory for, say, the Durham area up the I-85 corridor in north, and you can see those streaks. We'll zoom in on that and take a look at what some of those numbers were. We had as much as 2 inches of rain in northern Wake County, and it's showing up as about 3 inches there in the red from Henderson back down through parts of the region back toward Durham. We had almost 2 inches of rain. So it was some significant rain for us in the last 24 hours, that's for sure. So nice to have a break. We certainly have seen plenty of rain this week. We have a cold front that'll be sliding through this afternoon. That may also help to fire up a few thunderstorms behind it. We're not going to see a huge drop in our humidity. We will see more sunshine. That'll bring us some warmer temperatures, but still a few isolated thunderstorms during the afternoon. Here's this afternoon. This is definitely overdone a little bit. You can see all these showers popping up, but we're not seeing much of that happening right now. I do feel like by the time we get to 4 or 5 o'clock, we'll have some of those. And then we'll see everything beginning to taper off once we get past midnight. Tomorrow morning, we're going to wake up to some cloud cover, but we'll see the clouds dissipating and partly cloudy skies through the afternoon. And I mean, just a handful of showers pop up between, say, 5 and 7 o'clock. So not much rain for us tomorrow and even smaller chance for Sunday. So changing the pattern back up to what it should be. Our rainfall total for today, including what we've seen this morning, likely to be an additional, say, quarter to a half an inch maybe this evening in some places. Today we had a 70% chance of rain. Tomorrow it's a 40% chance, and Sunday down to a 20% chance. So definitely looking drier for us. Looking ahead, even though it's going to be a very normal type weekend for us with some sunshine and afternoon storms, we have a better chance of a strong front that comes in on Monday. Tomorrow we'll see what the Storm Prediction Center gives us in terms of a risk. It will be a level 1 or level 2 for us on Monday because they've already put out the notice that severe storms are possible for Monday. So we're watching that closely. Headed to the beach this weekend, isolated afternoon and evening storms. Highs will be in the low to mid 80s. In the mountains, same thing. Some scattered afternoon storms, 81 in Asheville, 73 in Boone, and up in the highest elevations. Temperatures will be in the 60s. That's where to go when it gets hot, which it will here this weekend. 87 for tomorrow, looking at 91 on Sunday. We're going to be hot Monday, but after that front moves through, temperatures are back into the 80s. We'll be right back with your top stories.
As we wrap up things here, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following on WRL News. Durham police have canceled an Amber Alert for a 16-year-old girl. That alert was originally issued for Anaya Hooper this morning. And while speaking with WRL, her mother said she returned home. Durham police said the investigation into what happened, that is ongoing.
And a national warning was issued about protections for LGBTQ Americans this month that happened as Pride events are set to happen as soon as this weekend. The warning is based on a report that details at least 75 anti-LGBTQ plus bills have been signed in the 2023 legislative session, more than double last year's number. We are trying to find out more information about enhanced security at upcoming events. We'll have all updates starting on our news at 4.
Vice President Kamala Harris is set to be in Charlotte tomorrow. She's expected to mark the 1 year that's passed since the Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade. Harris is also expected to rally supporters and community leaders to fight for reproductive rights, and that is set to be a big issue during next year's elections.
All right, Chris is excited about this one. The white gown Carrie Fisher wore as Princess Leia in Star Wars: A New Hope, it's up for auction. It's expected to sell for up to $2 million. Fisher wore the gown during the film's final scene as she bestowed Luke Skywalker and Han Solo their medals of honor. It is reportedly the only Princess Leia costume known to still exist from the original film. The costume designer won an Oscar in 1978 for his work on the film, and I can see why. That is beautiful.
Yeah. It's all in my head. Our pet of the day is a curious little lady from the SPCA of Wake County. Palmer is a 3-year-old spayed female. She loves bird watching. She needs a home to teach her how windows work because she furiously is pawing at birds through them. Palmer has diabetes and is doing well with insulin injections. If you're interested in adopting her, please visit spcawake.org/adopt.
That is a very, very cute kitty. All right, NBC News Daily is next on WREL. We'll have your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We hope you have a great day today.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.